Before algebra, we learn how to combine numbers by adding, subtracting, multiplying and dividing according to the rules of arithmetic. To go on in this, you must know arithmetic. Piece of cake, isn't it? If arithmetic is all about combining numbers, then what is algebra about? To answer this question, begin with some ordinary arithmetic problems. If I add 15 plus 32 plus 9 in a vertical way, and if I multiply 257 into 14 in a vertical way, and 7 divides 95 in a vertical way, then we can rewrite these problems in a horizontal line also. That is, 15 plus 22 or plus 9 is what? Or 257 multiplied by 14 is what? And 95 divides by 7 is what? In this form, an arithmetic problem is an equation, a statement that one quantity equals another, but with a twist. One side of the equation, the answer is unknown, at least until we work out the calculation. Algebra also involves equations, but with this one little difference, the unknown answer. What can be anywhere, rather than sitting alone on one side, the unknown can be stuck in the midst of the equation or the midst of the equation, often in more than one place. For example, if I take algebra problem 2 multiplied by what? Minus 3 is equals 11. The problem inverts: if you double a number and subtract by 3, then the result is 7. What is the number? In algebra, we treat that thing called what as just another number, to be handled in the same way as you would treat 1 or 2 or 6, but instead of what. We will usually write X or Y or some other letter. That is, you will be juggling with what numbers exactly is. So you can replace by A, X, Y, or any fractions or any number. We will see how to make and use many combinations of letters and numbers. Combinations known as algebraic expressions. Like human expressions, algebraic expressions can be simple or exceedingly complex. Simple expression may be of a plus 1, more complicated expression would be a minus 3 multiplied with x by y minus 2 and whole square of it. In algebra, the equation comes first. An equation says that one expression equals another. Then we push its expression around until the original expression are completely gone and the unknown what or xxp appears alone on one side of the equation, and we are looking at old-fashioned arithmetic program. That's algebra. X is equal to 3 plus 3 divided by 2 and so on. To do algebra, that we need to learn how to manipulate or handle expressions. There are rules for doing this. Just as there are rules for arithmetic, not even manipulation is allowed. There are laws about this. Okay, fine, let's see that. We start with the simplest expressions of all numbers themselves. Some of this material may be familiar, but some may be new. A continuation for the previous episode which we have done. Numbers have many uses, most especially counting and measurement. Counting is the most natural thing in the world. The numbers 1, 2, 3, 4 and so on can count anything, like apples, oranges, grains of sand on the beach. You can say it natural, not easy. That is why mathematicians refer to the numbers 1, 2, 3 and henceforth, which are natural numbers, as if anything else was, well, you know. But natural numbers are less useful when you want to measure instead of count. Measure the length of someone's foot, for example. If you see your foot on a measuring stick marked off in some units, that is inches, centimeters, because else it doesn't matter. The end of your toe may not line up exactly at one of the tick marks. You have a choice, either slice a little off or accept the idea that there are numbers between the whole numbers, fractions like half or 3/5, 35th of 8th or so on. For instance, would be numbers like this. Our idea of numbers have or had better include fractions. We are pretty sure that amputation is more painful than fractions. We learn about fractions as part of things, that is 1 by 3 of some food which you eat, or divide by it to 3 equal parts. This leaves an open question of what a fraction is. Is it a division problem or number of slices? For the purpose of measurement, a fraction is just another point on our ruler, 1/3, for instance, sits 1/3 of the way from 0 to 1. The fractions 2/3, 3/3, 4/3, 5/3 and so on. Also, we have definite positions on the ruler. Yes, that is 3/3 is 1 again, 6/3 is 2, etc. and so on. In other words, a fraction is just another kind of number. A length, something to measure. With every fraction, every possible combination of numerator and denominator has its place somewhere on the measuring stick. If you can't measure your foot with fractions, you can at least get all awfully close. When we go beyond measuring the things, we also need to use negative numbers. For example, if you take temperatures, -20 degrees, every temperature colder than that zero considered to be negative. If I knew, I would like to be positive better. Time. If you unwind a clock dial, you can think of time as measured along a line. Money, for instance. Even money can be negative. A bookkeeper treats a debt as a negative. If you owe someone, then you have negative keeping money. There must be a place on our mental measuring stick for negative numbers. Their place is on the other side of zero, counting off to the left. The number zero separates negative from positives. Imagine an endless number line stretching off in a both direction. Endless because there is no largest number, not even a billion. The line negative part looks exactly like the positive part, but going the other way around. Negatives are the images, mirror images of positives, fractions included. The negative of a number is its mirror image on the other or the opposite side of zero. If you flipped the whole line around zero, each number would land on its negative. The flipping movement also sends each negative number to the positive end or the side of it. That's why we say negative of a negative is positive. For instance, if you take minus of minus 2 is 2. In our earliest math classes, we learn that adding two numbers means combining all their ones and counting, while subtracting means taking some away, which is fine for natural numbers, but may not be fine otherwise. To do algebra, you will have to get completely comfortable with adding and subtracting negative numbers. For example, a person saying, "I have 3 fewer apples than you." The other would say, "Are you bragging or complaining?" Continuing with the previous episode, before we get into it, though, we need to say few words about parentheses. Can't we do without them? In math, they are used as grouping symbols that tells us to think of everything inside the parenthesis as a single unit or quantity or thing. Parentheses save us from writing anything as strange, confusing, and stomach turning as 5 plus minus 3. It should be 5 plus brackets minus 3 within parentheses, because 5 plus the negative 3. Grouping means when you see parentheses, do the arithmetic inside the parenthesis before doing any work outside.
as well as we see this matters. And one thing that from here on we will rarely use the symbols multiplied to mean times as multiplication. It looks too much like X, the algebra favorite letter. Instead, we usually indicate multiplication with a little dot, or when we were in a really minimal mood, just by putting two numbers side by side and using parentheses if there is any chance of confusion like this.